Yes, hello everybody. We'll go now from China, South and North Korea, to the other side of the globe, to London, and from London to Sweden. And then you will ask yourself three questions. The first one is, where did all the people go? London and Sweden has about the same population, so we are quite a small country. The second question you will ask is, of course, what is the status of Swedish wargaming and gaming? At the armed forces, they are conducting wargaming and war gaming, I think, at all services, all warfighting schools, the armed force headquarters, the different staffs, and even at the armed forces technical school. They also do gaming at the different schools like the Swedish Defence College and so on. A friend of mine gave me a slide presenting what we're doing at the Defence College. Looks like this. And he's very into this with gaming. He says wargaming is in various forms are well established in military courses. He's now trying to get a progressive development of people who are going to lead and conduct wargaming. This is a number of different games to be running. If we look at the problem then in Sweden, they're very similar to Graham, although you can think that a smaller country would have smaller problems. I don't know. I think maybe the opposite. The thing is, we have very few experienced people who run games. And we also don't have any institutionalized board gaming. We have no grid formats. What we want to, what we're doing to do is that we have run a conference at our organization, the FOI, 2 years. The second year was a couple of weeks ago. 45 people, 25 from the armed forces, all military services were there, armed force headquarters and so on. And the object of that conference was to create a network between those interested practitioners and most experienced people involved in wargaming within the defense community. And also share knowledge from this conference, like the Matrix game rules and so on, thanks to Tom, and other things. So, but now, of course, you wait for the third question. The third question is, of course, what is the FOI perspective on wargaming? And what do we do? This picture I was stolen from the previous Connection conference. If someone who knows the source, please tell me. FOI is wargaming applications, decision support for analytical research and training education. FOI is mainly dealing with, the main focus is focusing on details of discussions. If we look at how FOI looks at wargaming, our perspective, you must understand the context that we're working in. This is our department, or our the FOI, Swedish Defence Research Establishment. If you're thinking, what is this? Think the Swedish correspondent to DSTL. This is my department where I work, defence analysis. We do the most of the gaming at the defence analysis. Those who are most involved in gaming are the operation researchers, which also sets the context for our perspective on wargaming. Thus, what are our operation research is doing. They're embedded within the armed forces headquarters, about 40 people, rotated in a continuous schedule, which gives us the opportunity to sit maybe 2 years at the Army, 2 years at the Navy, and so on. So it gives us quite a broad experience as operational analysts. We support immediate question games with short notice, because we're so close to the decision makers, the high level decision makers. We got to know this now, and sometimes we have more time, maybe 3 months. And we also support in long-term analysis, then we have, as I said, longer time for preparation and so on. At FOI, we do some back office support. We don't get gaming assignments, as I think the US Naval Corps and so on gets, but we rather get support back office, and the main part of our game is done in combination with the armed forces. So the practical consequences for our gaming perspective is that our perspective is problem-oriented instead of game-oriented. Tasks and changes of tasks with short notice. We have also limited resources and time, very few analysts, and they often have better things to do. Which means that we always have to address the question, what is good enough? So what kind of games do we mostly run? Yeah, we mostly run seminar games in a structured way, very structured way. And in the whole gaming process, it's a teamwork with military officers, both the preparation of the games, the running of the games, and also the synthesis and analysis after the games. So, worth to remember is when a military officer comes to the OR and says, oh, I want to do a game. What is a game in his perspective? A game in his perspective is, let's put some experts together and talk in a structured way based on a scenario. Okay? And we had a problem discussing before. I will look into that in a moment. But gaming is a tool for a specific purpose. It's very important to know what is the overall aim of the study, the project, or whatever, because the game is should not be existing on its own. It's one part of this important process. You must ask yourself, what are the desired results for the engineering work in the project or study or whatever? And you also must ask yourself for the questions, what data, what needs, and what questions do you want the game to answer? And based on that, we take the participants, feed in data, and have a gaming engine in the overall process to run the project forwards. In my opinion, people, in best case, very seldom though, know what this is. They don't know what they want to achieve in the long run. And if you look at the game, you should also look really into the aim of having results for other purposes, like knowledge spreads to parallel projects, like training people in wargaming, like getting people to understand the wargaming and feeling assured so they later on can implement the decisions produced by the wargame. So, as I said, this is the problem that the officer had, the military person. And the thing is that you have to ask yourself, look for a game situation. Our perspective on what a game is a game situation. If it's a game situation, it's a game-oriented problem. A game situation is a situation where one person acts and another person acts, and you have to take that into account when you're doing your subsequent moves and draw conclusions. Like playing cards, for instance. Or making sure no one takes your seats during the break. So it's very important for operational researchers and for us to distinguish between this problem, is the game situation, or is other methods that we should use. I try to, if you have a game situation, personally, and I think our department does, have these three different variants. You can choose a highly interactive course of events games, where you have blue and red cells interacting with each other, and you also produce some kind of course of events description that you can analyze afterwards. In the case when, let's say, red doesn't give a damn what blue does, we don't really need to have a red cell, we can do all the red index in advance, and then we have something that we call a scripted game. But these ones have time differences. So we could discuss roles, responsibilities, but also which resources that should be where and when. But let's say we have a very immature questions, like who is doing what. Then we could go to scenario-based discussions. So we take all these injects and put them in a row and say, oh, all of this happens in within the next couple of weeks. What are your roles and responsibilities? And same. And in a project, you can walk usually from this side and to that side when you have got more knowledge. Sometimes you can start at that end to see what is most important to find out now, and you move between these three different gaming variants. This is our view, a problem-oriented view. So how to do it? I want to show you one template for one group with team leaders. I have written two handbooks. One is about 160 pages, one 120, about two different types of games. One with our team leaders, where the game control can see the participants all the time, and when you have so much players or you want an interaction, that there are different groups who have different leaders. It's a completely different design perspectives regarding to preparation and how you run the game. So this is a template from 8 years ago. It's in Swedish. I've tried to translate it into English, but I can't make it fix on the screen. So, oops. Here we see the game as an engine in the overall process. In this discussion, we would identify what is the most desired product and what are the secondary products that you want to have. What you create is an agenda for the gaming day where you have introductory presentations and so on, and hot to wash up or something at the end. And the game is a part of this. We call all of this a game. A game week consists usually of presentations and hot wash ups and so on too. And we have a gaming template. These products should be present in a gaming template as the variations that you want to do on the discussions in order to make the conclusions more widely applicable. Doing this as a draft, you look into how shall be the focus, how shall we then focus the participants for the discussions. And then we look at into things like the scenario, should we have indexed vignettes, micro situations, which resources should we have, which tasks should be given, and what variations do we need to have into the game in order to get to broader, more usable conclusions. When we have this as a draft, the next question is, what do we need to have, which knowledge do we have to have present inside the game in order to get plausible answers? And that is the experts, who should we have, other participants, and we also have to look at when shall this knowledge be presented as a present to the participants. Is the presentation, is the text in scenario, is it gaming data cards, and so on. When we've done this, we do an adjustment regarding to roles and responsibilities, limitations in the game, regarding the game, as is the room, for instance, how many coffee machines we have, and so on. And then we do an optimization, and we iterate this in several times. Okay, looking into some aspects important. We have, how did it go? Adjudication, a central part of the of a war game. Adjudication is done and presented as based on the purpose of the game. For pleasure, it's obviously for entertainment. For studies and planning, it's supporting the analytical purpose. For education, training exercises, it gives an important opportunity to discuss risks and so on, and therefore enforcing the learning objectives. Which means this picture shows the model elements of the game, and on this side you have the increase in data accuracy, how close it is to real life. Looking at staff, at education, staff methodology, maybe you have quite a low demand on the accuracy of the data in the different model elements. But if you want to look more into education and development for tactics, for infantry tanks, cooperation for instance, it means you have increased demands on data quality, both as a whole and specific for that one. Analytical, you want to decide which and tank weapons you want to procure, then you have the high demands on this. So a game is a model of reality. You have to look into the conclusions from within the model and check transfer to real life. Are those conclusions usable? And so how usable are the results from the game? And the question is then, how is the impact on the conclusions from such things as the scenarios, the boundaries, and so on? And if all the above is okay, was the game run in such a way to get usable results? Had the participants enough time to react and think through the problems? How do you do with questions, documentations, and so on? And why not check your conclusions one more time using the matrix argumentation method? Is this a valid conclusion? Yes or no, pro or con? And finally, the conclusion or learning experience is no, not usable, or might be usable, but we first know more about this. And yes, it's a usable conclusion that we can use later on. Objectivity, highlighting the presentation of Stephen Downs Martin from previous year. Look at that one again. And final comments. I think we have many presentations here, including my own, who says this is very complicated. You have to think on all of these things, scenarios, data, and so on. And my experience is that we scare people from starting gaming. They must be conscious that a game can be complex and complicated, or quite simple and straightforward. That's depending on the questions to be answered and the level of knowledge that we have in order to produce a usable, good enough answer. A game can be as complicated as saying, you are red, I am blue, I have these rocks and sticks, and you have rocks and sticks, I do this, you do that, and what are the conclusions after a couple of interactions? It mustn't be more complicated than that. And gaming is a practical art. If you don't start practicing, you won't get good enough at gaming. And this is not something you just can learn by theory. Thank you. And important, if you're doing this, the simple things, and also others, play test beforehand to check if the game will work good enough and find out what might be lacking. It's based on the conclusions you want to draw. That was my final slide. Thank you very much. Thank you.